Do we know if Key gets top billing on his new show? Have we gotten any clarity on that? Is it going to be Key and Jay and Zubin? Is that the name?
I'm going to assume, you know, it's going to be, you know, Jay and Key and Zubin. That he's tired of being the number one guy, and he needed some help. So I'm going to assume, you know, he's going to take the Scottie Pippen role because he doesn't want to be Jordan anymore.
Yeah, well, there you go. There, he got what he was after in the first place. Yeah, he's been quoted, exactly right. You know, before we get into the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and what that means for the Raiders, I've just had the TV on here, and they just showed some video of the hotel rooms in the WNBA bubble. Just a tip to hotel owners out there that might be listening to us. Maybe don't have rat traps on top of the windowsills when people come into your hotel. Just seems like something that we could probably take care of before anybody shows up. That is really creepy to see.
Travis, when I initially saw that video, as it started to circulate online, I thought it was some sexist pig just trying to make a joke. Background.
I know.
I thought it was somebody just trying to make a joke. And I was like, oh, man, why are you kicking the WNBA?
Standing right by me, too.
Garbage. And then you look and you realize it's not a joke. That this is the actual laundry room. And that it is as haphazardly thrown together as any laundry room of any low-rated hotel you could possibly think of. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, I guess I just give people too much credit. I guess I look at people of certain resources and in certain leadership position, and I just assume that some of the common sense things that I just see on the floor had been addressed. But between the first meal for NBA players, the laundry room for WNBA players, this idea that July 4th delivery dates for FedEx threw the MLB for a loop, like these basic things to me clearly aren't that basic.
The pictures that were posted online of the meals that were presented to NBA players who have already entered the bubble looked like the worst meal you ever got at the worst summer camp you ever attended in your life. It was just the most benign, bland, uninspiring food. And I get it that you're trying to feed a lot of people all at once, but you would think the opening offer would have been, you know what? This isn't going to be too bad. It's like anything else. You put your best foot forward, whether it's in a relationship or a new job or whatever it is, when your first impression is usually a lasting impression. And this is a very bad first impression in both the WNBA and the NBA bubbles.
You know what that is? That's farting on the first date. That's what that is. You hold that thing, man. You hold that until you can get to a safe and secure place.
Ah, depends. Mm-hmm.
What I saw with that meal from the NBA was like, yep, I'm just farting in bed first night. Bam, here it is.
It's aggressive. I mean, well, it's aggressive.
So is that meal.
I'm looking at this again, man. I've had some crummy apartments in my life. I never had one that looked like that.
No.
that's pretty rough.
No, and the thing that's really crazy to me is that with the IMG Academy in particular, is that this is a multi-million dollar campus that is supposed to be a grooming ground for some of our most elite athletes ever. Like, IMG brought in Nick Bollettieri, who's the famous tennis coach who has essentially coached everyone from Serena to Andre Agassi to Pete Sampras and everyone else you ever heard of in the sport. He's incorporated with this. Like, that's the level that we're talking about. And the fact that IMG Academy has facilities that look like that with rat traps hanging out like Christmas decorations. I'm just like, what the hell's going on down there in Florida?
Yeah, well, Florida, that's a good start to the answer to the question to begin with, but we don't have to go into that. All right, Patrick Mahomes, 10 years, nearly $500 million in money coming his way. And like we've talked about for the last couple of days, we all believe that Patrick Mahomes is about as safe a bet as there is. That this is a guy that, you know, I hadn't even thought of it like this. When Mike Tannenbaum joined us earlier, he's lost 8 games in his career, none of them by more than a single score. So not only do they win a whole bunch, they've been to an AFC championship game and missed going to the Super Bowl by a toe, literally. Then they win the Super Bowl the next year. He's got an MVP along the way. And they basically never lose. And when they do, it's at least close. if you're a Raider fan, if you're a Raider player, do you just sit down and look at this and go, great, I got to deal with this guy until 2030 and beyond, knowing that I'm never going to get a chance to win this division. My opportunities to get into the postseason are fewer and farther between. I mean, if I'm somebody, whether it's the Raiders, the Chargers, or I guess even the Denver Broncos, I'm looking, this is the Tom Brady roadblock that everybody in the AFC dealt with for 20 years.
Well, I would just encourage people to remember that the 10-year anniversary of the decision, you know, so it was around this time. Mm-hmm. And when the decision was coming down, people were saying, oh, my God, this is unfair. All this talent on one team is unfair. It's going to ruin the league. Who's going to win another championship? Blah, 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 blah. You even had the players themselves saying not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. You had all of that stuff going on. And on paper, it looked like everyone was right. But then the ball was rolled onto the court. And J.J. Barea showed up. And then... And then, you know, you look and all of a sudden now the dominant team that everyone was afraid of showed you some cracks. And even though they have four consecutive trips to the finals, two wins, that outcome is not what people thought when the decision was aired. So I would just simply say, if you're a Raider fan, it is true. It is daunting. I'm not going to pretend like it's not daunting. It is daunting, but the truth of the matter is that your real concerns still need to be internal and not external, because Mark Davis is going to be far more capable of derailing your Super Bowl hopes than anything Patrick Mahomes does.
Okay, well, I can't think of Mark Davis without the haircut. You distracted me for a second, so I'm trying to recollect my thoughts here.
Would you rather me say John Gruden?
I can do Gruden what that, too. John Gruden's haircut isn't much better. That didn't help. But look, I hear what you're saying. When they did the not one, not two, not three thing, they didn't go and rip off eight titles in a row. But LeBron changed teams in the middle of that run, and they did rip off eight in a row. He did go to the finals eight times in a row, and it wasn't like they didn't win the finals every year, because half the time somebody was coming from the other side of the draw, and it would be a chance to win. Whether it was San Antonio or whether it was Dallas and J.J. Barea, like you pointed out, the Golden State Warriors. There were other teams that were able to beat him in the finals, but no one else came out of that half, and the Raiders are trying to come out of the same half. So I hear what you're saying, that it's not fait accompli where it's automatically you're going to win the title every year. But if I'm in the half of the draw with LeBron James for the better part of a decade, I had no chance because this dude is standing in my way. I understand football is different than basketball, that one guy doesn't change, that Andy Reid's participation in this is incredibly important, that the players around him, the tight ends and the wide receivers and the running backs and the offensive line, that all of those are very important pieces, that you have to have a defense that is at least functional the way that the Chiefs was last year. But for 10 years, LeBron James basically did throw up a roadblock on his half of the draw.
He did leave teams, but he did. But I would say it's not apples to apples as it relates to the Oakland Raiders or the Vegas Raiders, I guess now, is because LeBron James's teams were able to overcome and defeat well-run organizations. And that's unique. When it comes to the Raiders, I don't think anyone necessarily classified them as being a well-run organization. And so my point is that when you look at the issues that could be facing the Raiders and as compared to the 10-year deal that Mahomes just signed, yeah, Mahomes is going to be a problem for you. But are you even ready to take the mantle anyway? Mm-hmm. You're not a Toronto Raptors. You're not the Boston
Celtics. But what if your team you're not like this, there? Let's switch it off from the Raiders here for a second. What if you are the Baltimore Ravens? The Baltimore Ravens are a well-run organization. Yes. The Ravens have been good year in and year out with lots of personnel turnover. They've got a formula that clearly works for them. They've got a quarterback that is extraordinary, reigning MVP. If I'm those guys, I'm looking at it and maybe looking and saying, you know what? I'm in deep, deep trouble because that man is standing right there. That Patrick Mahomes, and because this doesn't feel to me, and I don't want to, I'm hesitant to put Lamar Jackson in there because I don't want to make it sound like I'm marginalizing what he did last year, because what he did last year was extraordinary. You and I saw what he did to the Rams in the Coliseum that night, and it was, oh, blank. That is what's happening right now. But here's also what's happened. Lamar Jackson has been figured out pretty well in the postseason 2 out of 2 times. Not saying it lasts forever, but the Chargers his rookie year put it on him, and then the Titans the next year, they were able to at least slow him down enough to win that game. So there seems to be some sort of formula for working against Lamar Jackson that there is for Patrick Mahomes. I haven't seen anybody say, ooh, if you do this to him, he struggles with it a little bit. Here is our little opening to try and go beat those guys the way that there are with other really good players.
Well, I mean, listen, Lamar Jackson is just going to have to continue to get better. And, you know, I know it's easy to forget because it seems like we've been talking about him for a really long time. But the dude just turned 23 this year. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a kid still trying to figure it out. And I understand Patrick Mahomes is young as well, but he's a different young.
Hi, Bubba's.
He's going to be 25.
Wait, you're laying on my cord. Don't do that.
Is anybody else hearing Karen?
Yes, I'm hearing that too.
I just want to make
sure. Oh, I'm sorry.
Listen, girl, don't worry. I'm kind of interested in what we're talking about.
My bulldog, I have an English bulldog, Jake. He's laying on the cords. I apologize for that.
No, don't apologize. Hey, listen, we actually have a vacancy. Keyshawn's going to New York. So if you're trying to audition right now, if that's what's happening, you know, let it roll. So
hey, that was my audition. That was my audition tape right there.
Jake?
How long have you had Jake from State Farm?
Jake is 3 years. Jake, that's what he's called. Jake from State Farm. He's 3 years old.
3 years old. And is this your first time with a pet, or are you a constant pet owner?
I am a bulldog mom.
A bulldog mom.
Bulldog mom. I've rescued English bulldogs and adopted English bulldogs, and we got this guy. We adopted him at 4 months old, and he just wants to lay on the cord. So I do apologize for that. I did not know I was lying.
You're good.
Listen, you're part of the family. Now, you were a distant cousin, so we're wondering why you at the head of the table, but you can still be at the family reunion.
I'm at the family reunion, so it's all good. I'm from a family of 10. I never got to sit at the head table. I was at table D. Table A through D, and I was at the misfit table. That would be table D.
I come from that family too, Karen. Yeah. My mom is one of 10, and I was basically sitting in the front yard for about 10 years before I even got into the house. So
that was
I am very, very aware of what that feels like.
I got stories.
All right.
I have stories for you, but I do apologize for that. No. Glad I didn't say anything else.
I'm actually disappointed you didn't give us something juicier besides Jake from State Farm. I was really hoping for some real juice.
Raj knows me, so he's probably shocked too that nothing else.
LaChyna Robinson is going to join us next. We'll talk about the conditions inside the WNBA bubble, plus the comments from the senator from Georgia on the Black Lives Matter movement inside the WNBA. That is coming up next. But first, Jake from State Farm and Karen on the roads on a Wednesday. Karen. All right. As promised, we are joined right now by women's basketball analyst. She is also the host of the Around the Rim pod. LaChyna Robinson joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. LaChyna, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey there. So what's going on down in Florida? Why are they using mousetraps as Christmas decorations down there?
Well, as I'm sure you saw yesterday via social media, the accommodations at IMG were less than expectations, to say the least, when WNBA players arrived in Bradenton and get ready to hunker down for the start of the season at the end of July. You know, I mean, I think one of the phrases that I heard from a player that I spoke to yesterday that really speaks to the situation was that it was unacceptable for a professional athlete to be asked to stay in such conditions. Now, there are three areas there at IMG that they're housing WNBA players. There are hotels, villas, lodge settings, but I believe that it was the lodge area where there were lack of renovations. What I mean is just not very well kept, not clean. We did see some video, which Alicia Clark, who was on First Take, spoke to just moments ago, said the videos were hers, and there were worms on the floor. There was a mouse trap in the laundry room. So, you know, obviously it only impacted a few of the players, but it shouldn't impact any. You know, I mean, they wanted to arrive and feel safe, and that environment and didn't know what to expect, and they were disappointed. However, I did hear from our great colleague and friend Holly Rowe that she spoke to folks at the league office, and that even Commissioner Kathy Engelbert was out at 1 a.m. helping players to move to other spaces on the campus, and that they're working to rectify the issues.
LaChyna Robinson joining us here on the morning show. You know, we've talked a lot about the NBA bubble. With the WNBA bubble, is there the same level of concern as far as people coming in and out? We've talked about how the NBA players maybe bring people in, or maybe they themselves go out. Same concerns in the WNBA bubble?
There are definitely concerns. I've even heard from players already that IMG is still a live campus. So from what I understand, there are kids of some age, high school kids, I'm assuming, that are participating in camps and such. And there are just other people that are even visible that are not a part of the WNBA crew that are around. Now, bubble, you know, has its own definition. Like, that's not to say that other people can't be in other spaces. My understanding is they're just going to be protected from them being in close proximity. But yeah, it's definitely concerning just across the board in terms of the health and safety of it all, because it's a very challenging thing to try to pull off when, you know, you have people you're trying to account for, you're not sure what everyone is doing at all times, you're trying to, you know, kind of track activity, you're testing. So much goes into trying to keep the bubble safe. But yeah, absolutely, WNBA players have the same concerns, and I think this will be a trial and error situation for both leagues. You just hope that it doesn't come at the cost of anyone experiencing severe health issues.
You know, I don't know if it's the general coverage of the league or what, but it feels as if when I look across all the sports that are trying to get started back up post-coronavirus quarantine, that between not getting the protocols in a timely fashion and now this, that the WNBA is being disrespected too often for my taste. Like the NBA got a chance to look at things over and debate, whereas it felt as if the WNBA was given 24 hours to do the same thing. Am I characterizing this correctly?
You are. And I will be the first to say I've been disappointed with the lack of transparency and the lack of information in general as it pertains to how the WNBA plans on executing, you know, their single site situation. And, you know, to no fault of the NBA, everything that they've put out there has been made public and it's been blasted on social media. And even though the NBA, to my knowledge, is starting after the WNBA, we knew that they were going to have, you know, barbers and manicurists, and we, you know, can see practice courts, you know, on Instagram and Twitter. I don't even know that we've seen the court where WNBA players will be playing this summer. So there are a lot of unknowns. And let me also be the first to say that I don't want that job either, right? Like, I understand we're in a pandemic, unprecedented times, and so you know, I think everyone is trying to be understanding, but at the same time, there has been a feeling of disappointment that we just don't know enough. And when you're talking about people's health and trying to make plans to support a season, I mean, if these women are going to go to the single site and they're going to play, like, we should have their schedule by now. We should know how and when we can watch games and support them. And I just don't feel like with what, 3 weeks before the season is expected to start, not even that, that information's been slow coming.
LaChyna Robinson joining us here on the morning show on the Sprint People's Hotline. The co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, the senator from Georgia, one of the senators from Georgia, the comments that she made about not wanting Black Lives Matter painted on the court and the removal of politics from sports. Were you surprised by her comments, LaChyna?
I would say I was somewhat surprised. I mean, we've been watching Kelly Loeffler, you know, since she took the position in the Senate. We've been watching and listening to what she's had to say and some of her stances on different things, including her recent comments about mob rule as it pertains to your right to carry with citizens of color. So there's been some things that she has said that have definitely raised eyebrows. But this was probably the most shocking and I would say hurtful. Based on the conversations that I've had with WNBA players, you know, I was an analyst for the Atlanta Dream for many years, spanning the beginning of Kelly's time up to a summer ago, and I will be the first to say I didn't see this coming at all. I've been to her home. I've been around her husband as well, and this just comes as rather a shock and surprising that she would oppose the Black Lives Matter movement as a co-owner of a team that's 80% Black. Excuse me, the league of a team that's 80% Black women. It's one thing for her to have her own beliefs on whether or not she wants to support or back whatever it is. And this is not political. That's the other part of this, is that, you know, from a player standpoint, Black Lives Matter is about human rights. You know, there's nothing political about Black people saying we are standing up against racism and we are standing against police brutality. And what the players were planning to do this summer is just honor that movement and bring awareness to it and use their platform during the season to talk about Breonna Taylor, to talk about, you know, what is taking place in our country. So I think the disappointing part was that she tried to take that and make it seem like a divisive movement and a divisive stance by the WNBA. And you would hope that she understood the values of this league as she's been a part of it and would be more of a listener through everything we've seen over the last few months and really hear the voices of her own players and of this league.
LaChyna, I have a very important question for you, and I want you to think long and hard about this. If you were in a bubble by yourself and you could only watch one Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, what would be the one movie you would take with you?
Can I take Rocky? Like all of them?
Yeah, that's the right answer, LaChyna. That's the right answer.
Okay. She said
right
all there. Of them. She said all of them, which includes Creed. So I also win. So
that's about all I got right there. I'm taking Rocky. Period. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. That's all the inspiration you need to be able to make it through a bubble situation.
I'm sure there'll be many viewings of Rocky inside the bubble. LaChyna Robinson joining us here on The Morning Show. LaChyna, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks
Please come back.
You guys. I will, for sure.
Yeah, it is fascinating, LZ, like she said, that we've gone around and around and around about the NBA accommodations and what the court's going to look like. And they've got this barber over here and this manicurist over here, and the food's going to look like this. We're going to do it just bam, 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 right down the line. And then it's like for the WNBA, you've got a day. Let us know what you guys want to do. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you want to say, you know, just good old fashioned, you know, sexism, but like women are running, you know, the league. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, is it just poor organization? Like, what is it? But I just feel as if, and you and listeners that have been with me since jump all know, I love this league. I love watching this league play.
You're the one.
I love going to Sparks. I love all of it. And I it's really disappointing to see the league not love itself in the same way and really take care of their athletes. Because real talk, and I'm about to give you some real talk, Travis.
Okay.
It's been the WNBA that's been leading the charge in terms of the conversations about Black Lives Matter and social justice. Over these last few years, from the T-shirts, from the statements, from all the sort of efforts that Maya Moore did leaving the sport, you have another player who has left the WNBA at 25, still very much into her prime, because she's so sick of what's happening, and she's going to law school. She's going to go to law school because she wants to get elbow deep into the fight. I'm talking about Imani McGee Stafford, who happens to be JaVale McGee's sister. She's going to law school because she wants to get involved with this fight. These women have been leading this charge in this conversation, and they keep getting pushed out of the national conversation as it pertains to Black Lives Matter and social justice reform. And it's not fair because they've been the leaders and not the followers, and now they're being mistreated in terms of just getting this sport started up again. It's sickening.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not – you've, like you said, you've followed this league for a long time. You've been a fan of this league for a long time. that it's easy for people that do not follow the league to dismiss the league when it seems that the people that are running the league aren't paying attention. If you've got rat traps in the laundry room and you're trying to restart and you got worms on the floor and you've got all of these things, it's just that the people that are in charge of giving you the best things that they can do, the best accommodations that they can figure out to try to get this league restarted, if they can't get it figured out, why are people that maybe are not interested in the league supposed to take advantage, or I shouldn't say take advantage, take notice and think that this is important when you're treating it as unimportant?
Right, exactly. And that's a real bad image thing. Now, I'm happy to hear that they jumped into action from the commissioner on down, but the simple fact that they didn't jump into action before any player made it to the campus is disturbing.
All right, the Dodgers are in camp. They are trying to get ready, and they are missing a bunch of guys. What does that mean for them if, in fact, we get a season? We'll tell you next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Guys, you know this. You know how important it is to keep your car running at its absolute best. It's important for your safety. It's important for the safety of your family. That's why it is so important that you get into the Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change, and have the peace of mind knowing that your car is running at its absolute best. For 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient maintenance services for people like us, people that are incredibly busy, people that only have a few minutes here and there. It is 15 minutes. No appointment necessary. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out, all in less than 15 minutes. Whether it is an oil change, tire rotation, transmission care, whatever it is, Valvoline Instant Oil Change has you covered. You never have to get out of your car. You don't have to worry about going into a waiting room. You don't have to worry about touching anything. It is touchless pay, Apple Pay, Google Pay. They're going to email you that receipt, and you can be done in 15 minutes knowing that your car is running at its absolute best. And there's one right around the corner from you. 80 locations across Southern California. Go to SoCalOilChange.com for one of those 80 locations and to download a coupon to save on your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. LZ, I have some news. You ready?
Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely.
I am making a comeback here. You started to pull away for a little bit. You got into the 40s, and now I've closed the gap a little bit. You are down to 37%. I'm at 33, and Key somehow has 30% of the vote.
Well, this is because, Travis, you have established a super PAC organization that is now steadily working behind my back to try to guarantee your victory. I did not know we were going full West Wing, but now that I realize that it's getting more political, I'm going to step my game up, because Raj Groves went on social media, didn't tag anybody, by the way, but he did go to Tom Arnold and try to drum up some support from Tom Arnold's social media account to try to get more votes for Travis Rogers. And I, for one, am appalled. I'm shocked. I didn't think you could stoop any lower than Terry Crews, but apparently you can.
Well, okay, can I throw this in there? I don't know if the super PAC was designed to help me, because here's the facts. I was at 33 before he went sneaky on you. I'm at 33 still. Who he got votes for was Key. Key's the one that's moved. Key took your percentage. I stayed where I am. I'm still at 33. No, the percentage of the 4% you lost all went to Key.
I was trying to split the black vote, Travis. You don't see what I'm doing here. If I can get all the brothers that support LZ and just someone to support Key, then that means you got a chance to catch LZ, which in turn you have done.
You damn Ross Perot wannabe. He's a Ross Perot wannabe. He's trying to chop up the vote so that Clinton can slide in. But I'm not going for it. I'm going to fight back. I've also have tweeted some actors in my movies to get involved.
That's right, baby.
The Supreme Court said it was legal, and I'm going to do it.
Well, then, because I don't have any actor buddies like the rest of you guys, I'm just going to, I guess, concede. And I'm just going to take my 33% and know that at least one-third of the people are actually paying attention to the movies I pick, because Key's percentage is still the one that's bothering me, not yours.
Well, I'm bothered by the fact that someone who I thought was behind me, supporting me, was actually behind me to stab me in the back.
I honestly didn't think since I didn't tag you that you would see it, LZ. I must give you props for finding it. I'm guilty as charged.
Man, I got so many damn awards for being a reporter and a journalist. You better not mess with me when it comes to this stuff, man. I got my eye on you, dog. I got my eye on you.
Man.
So, America, I need your help. I need your help, America, because I'm not just fighting Travis and Key. Apparently, I'm fighting the establishment. Roz Groves is out working against me.
All right. Are the Dodgers going to have enough guys to put on a field when we get to July 23rd? Because they're missing seven guys from their roster right now that have not reported. And I don't want to say that they have coronavirus because we don't know that they have coronavirus. But the longer they're not there, the more the speculation builds because they can't release that information unless they're okay with that information being released. But the fact of the matter is, guys like Gavin Lux, Pedro Baez, and most importantly, I would argue, Kenley Jansen are still not there. We're already dealing with an incredibly condensed schedule to try to get guys ready for an incredibly condensed regular season. And they're missing not just a handful of guys, but a couple of handfuls of guys.
They are. And the names in particular are very concerning, especially when it comes to Kenley, because he's not replaceable, at least not easily. You know, you can almost kind of finagle a little bit, you know, here and there because we are so deep and have so many talented guys who can play so many positions. But once you get down to those final three outs, it really boils down to Kenley. And whether or not he's available and if he's healthy is a question mark, and that's certainly of concern. Now, when we had Dylan Hernandez on earlier, Travis, and he talked about the fact that, you know, I was thinking that Major League Baseball was trying to sandbag things, but he's saying that maybe, just maybe, they clearly weren't that organized. That's still shocking to me, given the kind of minds that are involved with all of this, that they would miss something like you need enough tests for everybody in a timely fashion to get up and running. But if that's true, we can get past that hump eventually for the rest of the guys. But if there is a health issue and it's dealing specifically with Kenley Jansen, that's a troubling. That could derail everything.
Yeah, and look, let's be as optimistic as humanly possible. Let's assume that no one was acting nefariously. Let's assume that this is simply a logjam of tests that have not been able to be processed and that Kenley Jansen is healthy and ready to go and willing to go into the bubble. Every day he's not in there is a day longer than it's going to take him to get ready to pitch in Major League Baseball games, right? This is not a typical spring training where if I have 6 weeks to get ready, if I miss a couple of days at the front end, it's not a big deal at all, right? I still have plenty of time to get up to speed. So by the time we got to opening day, I'm ready to go do my job. This is the exact opposite of a normal spring training. We're talking about a couple of weeks and a condensed couple of weeks at this. And I know I've been taking care of my body. I've been throwing it home. I've been doing this, that, and the next thing. It's not the same. It's not the same as working out in a major league facility. It's not the same as throwing to, or I should say, against major league hitters who are trying to get the bat on the ball against you. It's not the same as getting your adrenaline pumping in, whether it's a simulated game or a real game. So if triple the time in the regular season, and that's what we're talking about, every game during a 60-game season is worth roughly triple of the regular season. Well, then the same thing is true in spring training. If he misses a day, that's like missing three. You miss two, it's like missing six. Now we've missed three, that's like missing nine. Now that's a week and a half. You miss another one, we're up to 2 weeks. The impound, the compounding on this is legit. So every day he misses is a day later that he's ready to go. It's a day earlier that maybe you can have some injury concerns once he gets in there. This speeds everything up exponentially. He needs to get in there as fast as possible. That's assuming everything's okay, which we don't even know.
Which we don't even know. And, you know, it's if it was anyone other than Kenley, maybe you don't freak out as much. But it's not just the simple fact that he is the closer, and that's a hard job to feel. But it's also just concerns because we know he's had some health issues over the years as well. Legitimate, life-concerning health issues. And so the more that we don't get a definitive answer in terms of when he's going to arrive, and better yet, why he's not there to begin with, the more you can't help but wonder if it's something more than just logistics. And you just don't want that hanging over you. You don't want that cloud hanging over you. And you also hopefully don't want to make the decision as to now what. because I saw a report that says Pedro Baez, and I like Pedro. I do. But that doesn't make me feel secure. And I heard Joe Kelly.
What if I said Joe Kelly?
I've heard Joe Kelly, and I like Joe. I do. He's got that whole Clark Kent theme look going on, and that's all fine and dandy. But he's not always Superman when you need him. So that doesn't make me feel good. So it's like, I get it that Kenley has blown some saves, but I know he ain't never scared of the big moments. And I know that he has that mentality to go in the World Series and try and get those final three outs. And oh, by the way, we only remember the blown saves because they happen so rarely.
Mm-hmm. No, he's a borderline Hall of Fame guy. He's been incredibly effective. Is he what he was 3 years ago? Absolutely not. But he's still a very effective ninth inning guy. We haven't talked to Dave Roberts in a while, but the question I'd love to ask him is, if he's unavailable and if these other guys are ineffective, do you try to take one of those kids like a May or a Gonsolin or one of those young electric arms and drop him in there and see what you have? Because at some point, you got to just start throwing stuff against the wall. We'll see. We will absolutely see. All right, Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next. You know, LZ, looking at the picks that we had in our snake draft, one of the movies that did not get picked, and I was thinking about taking it just more as like for camp factor, because it was a spoof of the action buddy cop movie without trying to be a spoof of the action buddy cop movie. Do you remember Tango and Cash at all with Kurt Russell?
I do. I do. I think I saw half of it once.
Well, yeah, that's more than enough. But it was one of these movies that if you would have marketed it as a comedy, as a spoof of what it is they were actually trying to do, the way that some other movies have done, it would have been a smash hit. But then it was marketed as an actual action movie, kind of fell a little flatter.
Is that why it's got 30% on Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm surprised it has any. That surprises me as much as Key's picks have gotten. All right, George is here. George, we had a snake draft this morning.
Yeah.
And today's topic was our favorite Schwarzenegger / Sylvester Stallone movies. They don't both have to be in it, obviously, just right. One or the other. I'll give you the teams. You ready?
Okay.
All right. Team A is Terminator 2, Total Recall, Creed, and The Expendables.
Uh-huh.
Team B is First Blood, Rocky, Conan the Barbarian, and Commando.
Uh-huh.
And team three is Predator, Terminator, the original, True Lies, and Assassins.
Oh, man. See, the first team C, those first two are really daunting. Like, those are overwhelming because you have originals there. Give me team A again.
Team A is Terminator 2, Total Recall, Creed, and The Expendables.
I'm going to go Team A.
That's LZ.
And he is LZ. I swear to God, I feel like I pick LZ every time now.
As well you should, because America does as well.
Okay, good. Good.
I'm looking for my three-peat, George. I'm looking for my three-peat.
Yeah. Well, are you winning?
I am.
He is. Okay. He is. Raj is trying to stack the deck to keep Key in it, but it's not working. Key.
Well, how is he stacking the deck? I don't understand this. He's like,
he's tweeting at people in Key's movies.
Yes. Sneaking behind our backs, tweeting people, not tagging us with his posts, just saying, hey, these movies are good. Right, Tom Arnold? And it's like going, that's some BS. I'm calling you out for it. No super PACs are involved with this election.
So funny. You're not a Conan the Barbarian fan, George?
No, I like Conan the Barbarian. All those movies are movies I've seen. Assassins is probably the one I like the least, and I think that's the problem with Team C.
I'll put it to you this way, George. You are the only person here other than Jorge that knew what Assassins was.
Yeah, that's the one with Antonio Banderas, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, C. Yeah.
C, exactly. My people. Yes. For La Raza.
If you had the first pick overall, who would you take? The whole genre of those movies from those guys.
I mean, man, it's got to be Terminator or Terminator 2, right? Like, I feel like those two movies. Rocky, right? Like, it's one of those three movies. That's why Team C initially was so daunting, and then it just fell off the map, you know, after that.
He does that a lot.
Yeah, his first two picks were like, wow, that's like a super team, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh yeah, like what happened to the rest of the roster, you know?
George, I'm gonna need to go back and do a deep dive to see when did Key get most of his yards during the games, Did he all come in the first half, and in the second half he kind of trails off? I need to figure that out, if this is just a reoccurring theme with them.
Man, I score touchdowns to win games.
Yeah, you know the answer to that.
Not with Assassins, you didn't.
Yeah, no, Assassins is not a fourth quarter performance.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And I love Antonio Banderas, but come on, you know?
Now you got a trip. Assassins is dope.
Well, you're one of the few people that's seen it. Have you ever stayed in a hotel that had a rat trap on the windowsill?
I have not, but I did see that. And I don't believe that was the actual room. I think that was the laundry room. But yes,
the laundry room.
Nonetheless, yeah. Still not ideal. Yes. But I will say this. I grew up in Florida, and I've never stayed in Bradenton, Florida. Okay? So I, there are just certain parts of that state, even though I grew up in, that I wouldn't stay in. And that general area is questionable. Let's just call it.
Anything north of Dade County, right?
North of Palm Beach, basically. Yeah, north of Palm Beach. And then you have the pockets of Orlando and Tampa, and that's kind of it.
What is the red? Help me out on my Floridian geography here.
So,
is Bradenton lousy with rats? Is that what I don't know about?
No, I mean, it's just, like, it's actually not that bad. It's like a suburban neighborhood, but that's why it doesn't have, like, great hotels. You know what I'm saying? Because if you live in, like, suburbia, you know, are there nice hotels like the Ritz and the Four Seasons? There's probably not, right? Like, it's just, if there's any hotels, it's probably like the Residence Inn. You know what I mean?
But well, it looks like it'd be a better choice than this.
But I am checking, though, George, because it's my understanding this is actually on the IMG Academy campus.
Oh.
And if that's the case, that means that
that's even worse. Yeah.
The students are the ones living in these conditions full time.
Yeah, that's even worse. Yeah, exactly. So if it is the IMG Academy, then that's even worse. You're right.
So you guys have to pick one or the other. You're checking into a hotel room, and it's either going to have rat traps or worms on the floor. Which are you picking?
Oh, worms on the floor.
Oh, worms on the floor.
Yeah.
Really?
Debatable. Close.
Oh, God.
Come on.
At least the rat trap was empty for the time being.
Yeah, but that means you're waiting for it.
Right.
Well, yeah. Maybe they went to the other room. You never know.
Worms on the floor could easily be explained. You had a fisherman stay in. He tripped and fell. He dropped some worms and didn't realize they were back there, and he kept it moving.
Yeah,
like you just said, LZ, you are an award-winning reporter. You don't even buy that own stuff. The Sedano Show is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN.